You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialised short fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. This is part 5 of Glass Slipper Scandal, a Castle Charming story. Part 5, Fairy Godmother Spotted in Grotto. Prowling with Hounds. "It's my second night," Dennis said aloud, because really, it had to be said. "My second night as a hound, Jack. I haven't even drawn my first pay yet." "Well aware," she said evenly. "We're stalking our boss through the seediest bars of the city on my second night. Shush now." They were not yet stalking so much as waiting. Both of them had signed off from their day's shift and were supposed to be resting up before the next grand event of the season. "You're going to get me fired," Dennis complained. "Sarge respects initiative," said Jack, "more than he respects privacy." Corporal Jack blew out a breath of annoyance. Obviously, she had terrified the rest of the hounds into compliance with her every whim. But Dennis was not yet trained in blindly following her orders, especially orders that were not technically work-related. Which begged the question, why had she chosen him for this little expedition? "I'm worried," Jack admitted. "About Sarge?" "It's fairies. He has a thing about fairies. Last time we had a case that maybe, only maybe, involved a fairy godmother, he went on a bender for 2 days. So, yeah, I want to keep an eye on him." She gave Dennis a sly look over her shoulder. "Also, I have a pathological need to know what the hell is going on at all times, especially where it relates to the smooth running of Castle Charming and its security. Are we on the same page here?" "Fine, yes. I'm curious too. Good lad." They leaned against a wall outside a bar charmingly titled The Lunatic Arms until Sarge rolled out several sheets to the wind. He did not see either of them, but headed off down the street at an unsteady angle. "He never drinks on duty," Jack said in a low voice, and Dennis realised to his surprise that she was embarrassed on behalf of their boss. "I'm not judging," he said softly. She punched his arm, which he guessed was a sign that he'd said the right thing. They didn't talk as they trailed Sarge back to the castle. He didn't look terribly drunk, though he listed to one side and walked with a slower rolling of the hips than usual. He did not head for the doghouse or the guard quarters, but made directly for the gardens. "We can make fun of him if he ends up in the gazebo, right?" Dennis whispered. Jack choked on something that might have been a laugh. "Only behind his back and forever." Ahead of them, Sarge broke into a run. "I knew you were around here," he hollered through a flowering archway. "I could smell your bluebell bullshit a mile off. Come out here and face me, you bastards." Spitting with princesses. Zee was so angry she could spit. If a princess was allowed to spit. If there was anywhere in any royal castle that allowed for the possibility of discreet princess spittage. Zee was so angry she wanted to set the world on fire. Still, she sat through a day of gossip and finger sandwiches and tamped down the fury inside her with many tiny cups of tea. She allowed Abigail to lever her into a fluffy nightgown that belonged in a dusty attic or possibly a museum of antiquities, and even stayed docile while her long black hair was twisted into hundreds of tiny pin curls, which she would surely regret in the morning. As soon as Abigail had moved on to the next foreign princess on her schedule, Zee hauled the midnight gown out from under her bed and stuffed it, trailing lace fronds, sequined buttons and all, into a large handkerchief bag. Oh, and the glass slipper. Mustn't forget the fucking glass slipper. She slithered out of the window and down the ivy trellis until her feet hit grass, and then she was off and running past the fancy hedge maze and the brick wall of alcoves containing statues of every king and queen of charming, rendered perfectly in white marble and smug. Finally, she found a secluded grotto beyond a series of flowered archways, a cosy nook of a meditation pool decorated with crystal flowers, far from the lanterns and public paths. Here she could light the blue candle without fearing that she might be seen from the many, many windows of Castle Charming. It smelled of bluebells and sugar and broken promises. "Godmother, godmother, I have a bone to pick with you," she said aloud. "And here I am, reporting for duty." The voice was warm and sensual and unquestioningly male. It was not the voice of her fairy godmother. Zee leaped back, staring at the shelf of stone that ran around the top of the grotto, and the man who was suddenly draped across the stone shelf like a cat. "Who are you? You're not Miss Clover." "Why, thank you for noticing. My name is Master Foxglove." His eyes gleamed purple in the darkness. "She's otherwise engaged tonight. You don't think you're the only princess who has made unreasonable demands on her time?" "I might have known," Zee retorted. "First I have to share a maid and now a godmother. Welcome to the new century." "Never mind, sweetling. I may not be your godmother, but I am a godmother, and I am well acquainted with Miss Clover's open cases." Master Foxglove leaped suddenly, landing on his feet with a terrifying grace. "You're the Midnight Princess, aren't you? Frock and glass slippers and magical perfect timing. I can't believe you have any grounds to complain."
"No grounds?" Zee was furious. And if Miss Clover wouldn't show her face, then she would happily take it out on the nearest godmother available. "I went along with this appalling charade because I needed to secure a fast marriage. Miss Clover convinced me it would be cute recreating the glass slipper story of Castle Charming."
Master Foxglove considered the matter. "Sounds pretty damned cute, sweeping one of the princes off his heels with the same storyline that worked for his mum and dad. Epic!" "It wasn't cute," Zee hissed between her teeth. "His family didn't think it was adorable and romantic. Turns out the entire kingdom is highly traumatized by how that happy love story ended, and I'm the airhead who mocked their misery for all the world to see. The king has put out an arrest warrant and is about one diplomatic cough away from having the guest rooms searched. Will you stop laughing at me?" Master Foxglove was snickering wildly, hanging on to the wall of the grotto to support him.
"You don't think this is hilarious?"
"Was this deliberate?" Zee snarled, close to belting him with her bag. "Is this one of those careful what you wish for stings that the fairy tales warn against? Because I thought Miss Clover was sincere in wanting to help me, and instead I'm screwed six ways to Sunday." The fairy godmother peered at her from between his fingers, like a child playing games. His voice was deadly serious. "How important is it that you marry this prince?"
"I don't care about the prince," Zee said impatiently. "It's really important that I not go home. And I thought marrying a prince was the best way to assure that."
"Interesting." He tilted his head, his purple eyes glowing even more intensely than before. "I suggest you take that incriminating bag of yours and make a run for it."
"Why?"
"Because I'm about to get punched in the face by a man with the power to arrest you." Master Foxglove looked oddly satisfied at the very idea of it, even as the shouting started from some distance away.
"I could smell your bluebell bullshit a mile off. Come out here and face me, you bastards."
Hunting with Quills. Kai could not believe the luck of it. The story of the century had fallen into his lap, and this time he wasn't going to let it go. He had tried pitching several original pieces to the editor, who had turned all of them down flat. Amira shook her head at him afterwards. "If you're not writing about the Midnight Princess right now, Pet, you're invisible to him." "But everyone's writing about the Midnight Princess," Kai said in frustration. "Sure, but there's always a new angle." "A new angle on the story that had been done to death in less than 24 hours. Sure." So Kai returned to the castle, walking the path that the fleeing princess must have taken after the ball, trying to get his head around a new angle. He didn't question why he needed to be here, why the castle was tugging at him, until he realised that his ink was itchy. Kai had a magical tattoo on the small of his back. His mother had always told him that in the kingdom they came from, whichever kingdom that was, it was traditional to have a fortune tattoo bespelled to each child, marking out their destined path in life. His had never made a lot of sense. It was a literal blot of ink, most of the time, shimmering and occasionally splashing, as if a new drop had been added. Sometimes it resolved itself into words, though they were hard for him to read from that angle, and he had rarely been in a position to ask others to translate for him. On the few occasions he had been drawn to the changing images by the itch of the ink and held a mirror up in time, he had caught what looked like newspaper headlines. Castle charming, princes go wild, and the like. It had been enough, in the end, to convince his mother that his path lay here, that being a quill was a profession she could be proud of, though she'd been hoping for something a little more highbrow, a writer of ballads, perhaps, or a scholar of journals. Kai had never in his life regretted following where the ink urged him, and tonight it clearly wanted him here, in this garden, behind the castle, for whatever reason. It certainly wasn't for inspiration, as he had been walking around in circles to no avail for hours. Just as he was about to give up, he spied the odd shadow of a girl in a nightgown, climbing down the trellis and running off into the garden. He wasn't sure if it was her, the actual Midnight Princess herself, until he crept closer and heard something of her conversation with the sinister, beautiful fairy gentleman. This was pure gold. But it was all too fanciful to write up for the Herald without something solid to tether it. An interview. He would have to interview the Midnight Princess. Anonymously, of course. And here she was. "I could smell your bluebell bullshit a mile off. Come out here and face me, you bastards." The princess fled the scene, and Kai went after her, scrambling around urns and hedges until he got in front of her. She was hurrying too fast to stop, smacked directly into him and fell into a silver pear tree. "Oof!" The princess stared up at him in horror. "I know you. Are you one of those quills who were sniffing around the staircase my first day?" "Yes," said Kai breathlessly, "to the princess most likely to poison his coffee. And I can find you a hiding spot where the hounds won't find you. Interested?" Why had he even said that? He barely knew this castle at all, and yet the ink was tugging him, and he always followed where the ink led. It had brought him to this kingdom, this job, this castle. The princess glared at him for a moment, then lifted one hand imperiously so he could help her out of the tree. "What do you want in exchange?" "Your story," Kai blurted. "I want to tell your story to the world." Her eyes narrowed suspiciously. "Can you make the king hate me less?" "If I can't," he promised in a moment of valiant exaggeration, "no one can." Next, Midnight Princess exposed. Rookie reporter gets more than he bargained for with unofficial royal interview. Thanks for listening. If you want to support the Sheet Might Fly podcast and my other online writing via Patreon, check out www.patreon.com/musketeerspace. And if you need to contact me, you can find me at TansyRR on Twitter.